Welcome to Your Path to FI. Master your money, unlock more time, and gain the freedom to live your life on your terms. We'll be talking to amazing people from the FI community to inspire, educate, and help you on your financial independence journey.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Topia's podcast. Today, we've got myself, Logan, Matt, and Binnett here today for a really exciting episode.
Hi, everyone. Great to be back and excited to work through some interesting topics with Binnett and with Logan. We've got a great guest on the show today who is Binnett, and we're going to hear all about his story to FI, and we're going to ask him a few questions and we will learn some lessons together on this session. So with that, Binnett, welcome. Thanks for joining us. I'll start by asking you, what are your reasons for pursuing FI?
I would probably say that I probably didn't even know FI existed when I started. I've been investing, as I said, within the FI journey to start investing as early as possible. When you start having some money, make sure you save a bit of it. So I've been doing that, I'd probably say, since my late teens, early 20s, I've been investing money. So this is probably even before FI was a thing. And I just continued with it, right? And so, as we all know, the compounding is that so-called eighth wonder. So that has helped me significantly reach FI without me even realizing that I reached FI. So yeah, I would probably, to everyone listening, is that it's not an impossible thing to reach FI. Just keep at it. And if you can't start early, start as soon as possible. So that's something I definitely recommend people to think about who are just starting out or who are thinking like, yes, just because somebody has done it, it can't be, I can't do it. That's not the case. You just need to reevaluate some things. It can be achieved. I'm living proof of it.
Awesome. Great to hear. So I think that leads us nicely on to just telling us a little bit about your journey, Ben. And it sounds like you got involved in the investing game from a young age, which has been paying dividends. But yeah, it'd be great just to hear a little bit about your journey into kind of discovering FI.
Yeah. So like I previously mentioned, I've been investing since my late teens, early 20s. And as we know, when we're younger, people are telling us you need to invest some money just for your retirement. But when we're young, we're like, well, retirement's still such a long way away. Why do I need to worry about retirement now? I still got another 40, 50 years till I retire. So initially, my mindset was like that. I'm like, yeah, I got time. But you know, obviously, you see what your parents are doing. It's like, okay, well, yeah, my parents are investing, but I will invest, but I'm not going to invest significant portions of my money. Because again, when you're starting out, your salary is not a massive salary. So you want to enjoy, you know, you've been in schooling, you're working, you want to kind of enjoy your 20s. So I was doing what my parents told me to do. It's like, look, just invest a portion of your salary. And if you don't see it, you won't even know about it. So whatever net coming into your bank account, that's what you have to basically live, pay your bills, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, I wouldn't say that I followed any kind of fancy FI journey per se. It's just been investing money on a regular basis, increasing my investment percentage as my salary went higher, as you get a bonus, investing what you can, and just been doing that. And over time, I wasn't one to like constantly log into my account and say, oh, how's it doing? You know, am I up? Am I down? Just, okay, I put it in. My asset allocation is pretty aggressive, except as I knew I was young, not a problem. Let's keep on putting money in. You guys call it pound cost averaging. Obviously, growing up in the States, we call it dollar cost averaging. It's just, okay, if you put in and market's down, you're buying on the dip, so you're buying more shares. Just keep on doing it. And I would say that over time, as we know, compounding does work, has helped me and my wife obviously reach to a point when FI was introduced to me 2017-18, which I didn't really know was a concept, and we kind of ran the numbers and like, oh, actually, we have, based on our expenses and what we think we're going to use as our expenses going forward, yeah, we are kind of there. But it was a simple journey in that sense. And it's not something that before then I was even thinking about retiring early. It was just like, I know I need to invest so that when I am 65 or 60 and I want to retire, I'll have something to draw down and still continue my lifestyle. But now with this whole FI concept, I could potentially reduce that by 10, 15 years if I wanted to, though I still work full time. So whilst I reach FI, I have not done the RE bit, because I'm still working full-time and investing a bit, but not as much as I probably used to earlier in my career.
Yeah, it's interesting. It sounds like what you've described there is that you had some really good principles in place. And, you know, the word FI meant nothing to you. You'd never heard of it before. But I think it just shows us how you can actually get there by doing some very basic things right from the start. And that is, from conversation with you before, we understand that you've also been very conscious of expenditure. Always made sure you saved a bit of money, put that on the side, started investing when you're young. You understood the power of compounding, and you also invest and forget. So another thing that I understand that you sat through, you sweated through the pretty bad market decline in the housing crisis. And just wondering if you could tell us what that was like as well, because it must have taken a lot of courage to not sell in a free-falling market.
Yeah, exactly. So back in, as everybody knows, 2007, 2008, those few years, the markets didn't do well, but I was still investing. Obviously had enough money set aside to live off of, and obviously you have your emergency fund that you can access if need be. But for the most part, out of my paycheck, whatever percentage I felt I was comfortable with investing, I was still investing. I was not looking at my accounts and my portfolios. Even again, I was still young enough, so I could still be aggressive. Even though things are going down, eventually it will go back up. It's never going to go 25-year period of declining market. So obviously I was hedging my bet, but still, obviously when you look at historical trends, that's been the case. You've rarely seen a 20-year dip in the market. So I was comfortable with, okay, I'm going to still put in, and I didn't change my percentages. In some cases, when I got, say, a bonus, I would probably put still more of my bonus because I knew, okay, well, this is a dip right now, so I'm going to be getting more shares. And that's what I did. I kind of, whilst you're listening to the news and the media, I kind of still drowned out, saying, I'm going to invest, but I'm still going to have enough money that if things do go completely wrong, I have money that I can access to still continue living.
Yeah, that's brilliant to hear how calm you've managed to stay through all of that. And to just remember that when there's a declining market, stocks are on sale. So yeah. I can see that you really have that behavior really well dialed.
Yeah, I think as I hear more and more about your journey, Vinit, something which keeps coming to mind is just how it's so simple and you portray it in such a simple way of just getting things right from an early age, just sticking to your principles and just getting it done. And the fact of the matter is, it is a really simple process. And I think your story perfectly articulates just that. And even the fact that, you know, when the stock market was plummeting, you know, you stuck to your principles. You knew that you need to be saving X percent a month, putting it away into your investments, and you just stuck to that straight and narrow path. And I think something which is really interesting, would be great to hear your thoughts on, is I think a lot of people understand the importance of saving, but then lifestyle inflation can quickly erode into what could be a really great savings rate as they get older. And I'd be great to hear kind of your thoughts or experience on lifestyle inflation and how you mitigated that. Because you did mention your savings rate did start increasing as you got older.
Yeah, true. True to a certain extent. I mean, we all know when you're talking to your friends and you see what your friends are buying, or even family, extended family, what they're buying. And you're like, oh, wow, you know, everybody's buying that Mercedes and a BMW or the big house. It's like, what am I doing wrong, right? And no one tells you that they might be in significant debt. All you see is them driving the fancy car or living in the big house. No one's going to say, oh yeah, by the way, I'm significantly in debt, so I'm living paycheck, right? So I definitely would say we had a bit of lifestyle creep. Obviously, as my family expanded, I've gotten married. Now I have two kids. Kids are expensive. So you kind of still want to invest, but you know you want to provide for your family. So you kind of make certain decisions like, okay, well, I'm not going to get the latest and greatest things for my kids, but I'll get them enough so that they're happy and content. But as we all know, we want the best for our children. But there are certain areas, I guess, you need to draw a line as the adult to say, okay, well, I'm happy to spend on this, but I'm not going to spend on this, right? So whilst everybody says in FI is that all these people are living frugally, eating beans and rice to save as much as they can, I haven't done that, right? I know where I want to spend, I'm spending. I'm not saying that, oh, I'm going to cut back here because I enjoy certain things. Like, for example, travel and holidays. I will spend money because I enjoy traveling. I enjoy the experience of traveling, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll spend there. But on the flip side is that on the day-to-day things, I might drive the average car. I might live in an average home. I might not have every single subscription to all the media services out there. I have enough that where I'm content and I enjoy things. So what's important to me, I'll spend on. What's not important to me, I will decide how much I want to spend on those services. And that's what's gotten me through, I would say, the so-called lifestyle creep. It's also just, I think, as mentioned, me growing up earlier, back in the 80s, knowing that my parents struggled per se, but you know, we were comfortable, but just knowing the amount, okay, well, you need to save, but you still live. But you know, you don't want to spend everything you have, you want to save it. And that's just obviously always been in the back of my mind. So I know as I've gone through my adulthood that I will spend what I want on what I like, and I will not spend on what I don't like, and I will save that. And that's basically what I've done.
It's great to hear. I think one of the things we're quite passionate about on this show is helping people to understand that you don't need to live on beans to reach FI, and frugality is a good thing to understand and occasionally to practice, but it's by no means the only way to achieve FI. And it's good to hear you've done that in a balanced way.
Yeah. What I would add is that I think some people, because there's so much about FI in the media, you know, you can find a lot of podcasts and videos and just reading on the internet about FI and seeing some people hit FIs potentially in their late 20s or 30s, and people just get scared. Like, oh my God, how are they doing it? But what you need to remember is it's not, your race is against yourself. You're not racing anybody else. No one cares when you reach FI, and you shouldn't care when anyone else. Just be happy for them. Okay, they reach at 35, great. Now you have to run your own race. If you hit it at 55, hit 60, you still won. There's no, oh my God, I hit it 20 years after somebody else who would have hit it at 35 or 40. And I think people get away from that. And I think that's what some people might think. Well, if they're hitting it at 40, well, I'm not even going to bother. And that's what people need to get away from, the kind of thinking.
Wise words, very well said. And that makes me think about, where are you? I think from previous conversations, it sounds like you're getting fairly close to FI and possibly already have achieved Coast FI. So maybe do you want to just talk us through where you are on the timeline of FI and perhaps explain your understanding of Coast FI?
Yeah. Well, actually, I would probably say on the standard 25 times your expenses savings, the 4% rule, I've already reached FI, but I still invest. Whilst I reach FI, I'm still working full time. So I'm still investing a portion of my salary every month, as is my wife. But in terms of the Coast FI, which is the money I have saved up, I don't need to add to that pot, right? So I'm still adding to the pot, but I don't need to if I don't have to. Because again, from my perspective, I don't need to spend all the money I'm getting from my employment. So I'm saying, okay, well, before maybe I was saving 25, 30%. Well, now I'm looking to save 5%, but I'm still saving a bit. So again, whilst I reach FI, I'm still saving, but I don't need to save. So again, everyone's journey is different. Some people who are at my stage might decide, okay, I'm done. Great. I probably still think I have a few years left in me to still work because I want to, not because I have to.
Yeah, exactly that. And just on Coast FI, exactly like you said there, Bennett, you know, what it is you've reached FI, and if you wanted to, you could be spending your full salary because technically you don't need to be topping up your kind of FI nest egg. But as you said there, obviously, you're just covering your expenses, living a great life, and still contributing to the pot, which is great. So I think you explained that you're very happy working another couple of years. I think what's quite interesting for me is how often do you reassess whether you want to no longer be Coast FI and be full FIRE? And what does that sort of assessment look like when you make it?
Yeah, let's see. So I would probably need to sit down with my wife and say, well, when do we want to stop? Right now, I still have kids in school. So at this point, we've kind of been thinking at a high level, once both my kids are in university, stop then. And that's what we're probably aiming for at this point in time, though reassess in another year or two and say, actually, you know what? They don't need to be in university. We have enough. We don't need to invest anymore. We're trying to give ourselves a runway about what do we actually want to do once we do pull the trigger, right? We haven't really, whilst we thought about it at a high level, we haven't really sat about saying, okay, what do we actually want to be doing once we've fully pull the trigger. So that's why for the time being we're still working, but we need to have those discussions, and we'll probably think about having more detailed discussions, I'd say, within the next year or so.
Yeah, that's interesting. When you said, what will we do with our time? It's just touching back on the three questions that people should typically consider before pulling the FI trigger. And that is, have I had enough? In other words, have I had enough of my job? Have I got enough? In other words, do I have enough money? And what will I do with my spare time? Because taking several decades to be free from work, normally that means you want to be doing something else. So it's good that you both consider that and cautiously tread towards that point in time when you decide to actually become FI.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Awesome. And really interesting. And I think, you know, again, something which we often speak about and get asked within the community and also on this show is that moment where you might have to take that plunge and pull the trigger and go from coast to full FI and potentially call it a day from your working life forever. Have you had much thought around that, Ben? And have you done any kind of reading or any kind of calculations around that moment?
Yeah, so as I've mentioned, we've kind of discussed it at a high level. We have just, my wife and I have chatted about, okay, well, if we thought about, once you do get, pull the trigger, what would we do? Would we want to do a bit of volunteering? Would we want to potentially move away from the UK, move to a cheaper area to live in, just so that obviously you get more bang for your buck somewhere else? Maybe do a hybrid 6 months in the UK, 6 months in a more lower cost area. But yeah, it's been more, I would say, we're just thinking about it as opposed to like, okay, let's put in a detailed plan about what we want to do and then make sure that we're on target to achieve that. So we're still, I guess, in the planning phases of that.
Okay, yeah, sounds very clear. I think something which I find a lot is when people are in these kind of planning phases around FI or even pulling the trigger, they can often go into online content or podcasts or online communities and have something called kind of information overload, where there's so many different angles, so many different people coming at these kind of questions from different angles, and it can be really overwhelming. But you know, when we speak to you, Vinus, yeah, you've got so much clarity, so straightforward and so simple. Again, what are your thoughts on, do you interact with all the FI information out there, or what's your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I would probably say there is a lot of information, potentially too much information, I guess you could say. I mean, there's so many YouTubers and bloggers and people on, you know, various Facebook groups that you might read. So I would probably say many of the people are saying things that I probably already know, but it's kind of getting that, I guess you could say, that confidence, like someone else is saying that. So, okay, I'm on the right track, as opposed to, which I kind of already probably knew the answer, but I want someone else to kind of validate my way of thinking as well. Then you know, okay, I'm on the right track. But having said that, I would say due to all this information, there is potentially sometimes too much information and you're just constantly reading. Okay, they said this way. How about anybody else? Let's see. And then after a while, it's like, okay, then you have in your head, maybe getting pulled in many different directions. And then your clarity kind of drops because then you're like, oh my God, they're saying this. So maybe I'm not close enough. Oh, they're saying that. Maybe I'm not close enough. Oh yeah. And so you just have to know, okay, what's my number? I need to get to that number and be then content with it, right? Everyone's number is getting different. If someone's number is 10 million pounds, well, that's great for them if that's what they think they need to save. But I don't need 10 million pounds. I'm happy with my number. But like I said, I have enough flexibility that if I need to adjust that number, I probably can. So if I do make that plunge, if I need to increase it, I can probably maybe take on part-time work if need be, et cetera, et cetera. So whilst I have a number, it's not always 100% set in stone.
Yeah, exactly that. I think, yeah, there's a huge amount of information out there, which can be good, it can be bad. But again, just boiling it down to the fundamentals, it's that simple number, how close are you, when are you going to get there? And then you can take all the other information as and when it comes. So just one question I always like to ask, Bennett. On reflection now, you're at Coast FI and technically could be full FI. What would you say was the hardest part of your FI journey looking back?
I probably wouldn't say anything was hard about it because, again, like I said, it's been natural just to save, right? So as I think I mentioned earlier, you know, when I found out that I probably had my number and I was like, oh, is that it? So in that sense, because I started this journey much earlier than when FI was probably known as a concept, I haven't really had to struggle with it. It's just, I would say I've probably struggled a bit more once knowing I've reached FI and with all this content that's out there, because then you want to kind of reassure yourself that you're there, as opposed to, oh my God, if I pull the trigger, I lose everything, then what? And it's that fear that you may lose everything that's probably the most tricky part. And that's probably been since I've known about the whole FI concept. Before that, I was just saving as much as I can and enjoying my life.
Yeah, just keeping it simple. I can relate to what you're saying about just being overwhelmed with other opinions and other sources of information out there. And I think the way you've just stuck to your principles is really the way to do it. That one of the tricks I did myself was I wrote down my investing principles, sort of a checklist, 10 key points, rules that I need to follow. And I just stuck with that. that helped me through some of the hype out there, some of the sort of the media that sort of screaming from the rooftops about all the fearful things that are happening. So yeah, it's really good that you managed to do that. Another question I'd like to ask is, one piece of advice would you give to anyone that's about to start on their journey to FI?
Yeah, I'd probably say start as soon as possible. So again, obviously, as we all know, the younger you are, the more time you have on your side. And so compounding is definitely going to help you. But just don't be, I would say, fearful that, okay, I'm already in my 30s or I'm already in my 40s and I haven't really saved much. Because as we know, you can't go back in time. So the next best thing to do is start as soon as possible. And just make sure that you're saving enough to then not also compromise your lifestyle. We hear people saving 70, 80%. You don't need to save that much if you can't, right? Just save as what you can, where you can still enjoy living. Because at the end of the day, you still need to live, right? There's no point of struggling to live now to have that enjoyable life when you're 75. And then your health, at that point, you have health issues. Then you can't enjoy life then. So just make sure you find that balance. And everyone's balance is different, but make sure you try to find that.
Yeah, wise words. Couldn't agree more.
Awesome. Well, we're coming up on time here. And yeah, it's been a great, great episode. I think I said it a couple of times, but I'll say it again. I think the really big thing I've taken away is just the kind of simplicity around FI and that just doing the right things, small little right things early on and just sticking with them and being consistent is all it takes to really unlock that FI. And then when you start getting to the point of pulling the trigger, then some kind of deep analysis could be called upon. And I think that was one big takeaway. And the second one is just the amount of flavors of FI. And just on that last point there, Bennett, you know, it's all about just finding that balance for you. And there always is a balance. It doesn't have to be this be all or end all. You're either saving 45% of your income or you're not. And if you're not, then you're not going to reach FI. It's not even close to that. Just starting with the small bits early on and you can unlock Coast FI and there are all sorts of other flavors which you can tap into. So, you know, really, really great episode. Any final comments before we call it a day on this wet, miserable Sunday?
So again, just as I was really mentioning to anyone who's listening and still thinking about how best to start, at the end of the day, it's just about just starting, right? Even if you're not knowledgeable about the different concepts, just to open up a pension, look to open up an ISA, just put the money into a simple fund and let the compounding do the rest. It doesn't have to be complicated. Just start. And then once you've started, then you can maybe do a bit more analysis if you want to learn about what your obviously risk appetite is and then reassess. But definitely just start.
Great. Thanks, Bennett. A lot of wisdom there from you. Really enjoyed this episode. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Your Path to FI. If you have any questions, reach out to us. You may send us an email to podcast@topia-app.com or via our podcast community. Please see the link in the show notes. None of the content on this podcast should be construed as financial advice. That's all from us for now. Catch you next time on your path to financial independence.